All right, cool. Thank you. I need a sign. Show me a sign.
Amen.
Anybody have any quick testimonies from this week? We've been fasting for marriages and families, and I didn't know if maybe God intervened. He just sort of like broke into a situation, and it's for the purpose of, yeah. Let me bring that. Sorry. Excuse me. So sorry.
That's all right.
Thank you.
Well, I didn't know you guys were praying for marriages because my daughter and her husband were going through a really rough patch, and my daughter and my daughter-in-law and my daughter, who was going through the rough patch, had gotten together just recently, and it just came about that we just encouraged her to take certain steps in her life, and the Lord just worked exponentially, and their marriage is on a really good track. And
that's awesome.
I was like, it's like God really shook up their core and helped them to make a better foundation for their marriage. So it worked for them.
That's awesome. That's so cool. That's awesome. Anybody else, real quick? Ooh, it's so loud. It's like a light. Yeah. All right. Anybody else while we're on the topic? Marriage, family, and experiencing God as, yeah? I know we're not supposed to make the world know when we're fasting, so I can't just say, hey, raise your hand if you were fasting this week and believing for it. But let me just say it this way. Thank you for everyone who took it serious to fight on behalf of a loved one here in this room to say, I want to see God break through an impossible thing, right? Yeah. So, thank you. You missed that? You were probably teaching? Oh, you were checking on the teens. Hey, tell you what, we'll go another one just for you. No, I'm serious. It's like you don't just say, hey, fasting week is over. Like, if you'll still commit, you know? And like I said, I can't tell you what it looks like. I can't tell you fast for a day, fast for 2 days, 5 days, right? It's whatever the Holy Spirit is saying to you, do it, and don't stop until he gives you the release, you know? Right, and then people will experience breakthrough, and then, you know, you may know this side of heaven, or you may not know until you get to heaven, but either way, it's going to be just as cool to have someone look at you and say, thank you. You don't know how much that meant, right? Okay, thank you. So we left off in Esther 3, 5 and 6. If you don't mind, we'll just start up there. We're in the story of Esther, but today's lesson is going to be like a hamburger where the story of Esther is the buns, and then the next level down is going to be a little bit of the story of Jeremiah, and then somewhere in the center is like a whole bunch of thoughts just from Jesus, okay? And so, Jesus can't be a pickle. He's the meat. But I'm going to read Esther 3, 5, and 6, where we left off, okay? When Haman, this is the Sith Lord, saw that Mordecai would not bow down or show him respect, he was filled with rage. He had learned of Mordecai's nationality. He was a Hebrew or a Jew. So he decided it was not enough to lay hands on Mordecai alone. Instead, he looked for a way to destroy all the Jews in the entire empire of Xerxes, right? These are a people. The Jewish people were exiled. They had been living in sin and idolatry. They were sacrificing their babies in worship on the altar. They were living in an incredible rebellion, right? And so the Lord said, I'm going to lift my hand of protection off of you if you don't stop. And they continued for hundreds of years. And finally, the Lord is like, I'm done. I'm lifting my hand of protection off of you. And the Babylonians swept in and took them all out of their land and deported them, right? And then the Persians conquered the Babylonians, and by default, now they get to own all of those people, the Jewish people who have been displaced from their homeland in Israel, okay? So the scene is a bunch of enslaved, exiled people living throughout Persia are finding themselves, you know, somewhere near kind of Iran area, being threatened because one guy named Mordecai refused to bow down and show respect to this enemy, okay? And these people didn't deserve it, okay? They're probably looking up to heaven saying, hey, what did I do? Right? Sounds like life. you're sort of moving around, you're doing the right thing, you're trying to please God, and then an attack comes and you're like, hey, God, what did I do? Is this a sign you don't love me? Is this a sign you've abandoned me? Is this a sign like your will doesn't matter, or you're just not willing to move, or, you know, thy will be done, but I'm mad. Why don't you just come and fix it, right? And there's a wrestling match in our heart that's going on. Can I even make it? I'm going to make it a little worse. Let me throw some salt on this one. And we're going to go to Jeremiah 29, 4 through 7. This is the people under attack, okay, prior to the announcement that was made that they're now going to die. Can we go to, do we have Jeremiah 29, or do I have to look it up in the old black and white text? There it is. Nope. We're looking for verse 4 through 7 if we have it. If not, I'll go find it. We don't have it. Somebody fire that guy who made the slideshow. Huh? That's right. Hey, it was free, so you can't complain. An assistant. I don't need an assistant. I am an assistant. All right. Jeremiah 20. Nine. Verse 4 through 7, where I'm not standing up here anymore. So, the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, sends this message to all the captives he has exiled from Jerusalem. Build homes, plan to stay. Plant gardens, eat the food you produce, marry, have children, find spouses for them, and have many grandchildren. Multiply, do not dwindle away, and this is what I really want you to catch, and work for the peace and the prosperity of Babylon. Pray for the Lord, pray to the Lord for that city where you are held captive, for if Babylon has peace, so will you. King James actually says, work for the peace and the prosperity of the city where you are in. Dark place, captured, praying for rescue, and the Lord says, no, actually, plant a garden, have a family, and everything you're to do is to build toward the prosperity of that city. Right? These are some good people, like salt of the earth people. These are the people who should be ticked off, miserable, and trying to look for a way to escape. And the Lord has directed them to be of benefit to the people that you are with. And then those people turn around and say, you know what? You ticked me off because you didn't bow down, and I'm going to kill you. Right? And it just feels like the story of our life. We're here, we're trying to make the world a better place. We're trying to invest into Amherst and Milford, and we're trying to love each other. We're praying for each other, and we're honoring each other. And, you know, in our households, we're trying to honor. We're crying out, Lord, make our family life better, improve our, and then all of a sudden these attacks come. We're like, what? What did I do? Go attack someone else. I'm doing my best to make this world better. Why me? Why not the next person, right? You know, I wanted to move on, and I was praying. I was like, Lord, what do you want to tell your people, you know? And he said, you know, it's easy to be discouraged when you feel like you've experienced attacks, so just encourage them. Just encourage them. Tell them I'm coming back for them. Really? Like, that's it? Motivate them. Encourage them. Tell them I'm coming back for them. And I had the sense that we're supposed to begin today with the end in mind. And so I have this picture, if you can put it up here. This happens to be my favorite picture. It's the first day of heaven. Love it. Right? You see that reaction on her face? That doesn't happen by accident. That comes because of investment. Right? Hardware, it comes through relationship and intimacy. It doesn't happen because someone just said, Lord, I received the cross in my life, your word come into my life. Thank you, God, save me from hell. Amen. Right? You get to heaven, you see Jesus in that kind of approach to life, and you'll say, hi, my name is Daryl. What's your name, Jesus? Right? How are you doing? Like nice day, nice weather we're having here, right? So there's an investment. Begin with the end in mind and understand I'm coming back for you. And when I come, you'll experience this, okay? There are attacks today, and they stink, and I feel you. And right? But begin with the end in mind, and then we're going to back away from there, okay? We cool with that so far? We have to find the hope that comes with the relationship that we have. And relationships like that are not built when everything is cozy and comfy, right? Relationships like that are built when it's tried and under fire and under attack, and you see him faithfully press you through every storm, and your heart is broken, and he still picks up the pieces, and he says, I'm putting them back together, and you're going to be better for it coming through the other side. That's where you experience that kind of connection with him, right? Yeah? And I swear I'm not writing this with anybody in mind, okay? What's that? Your name, Donna? Well, that's you on the picture. You know that? Yeah. You will be perfected. You will be completed. You will be healed. You will be rewarded. And you will be close to Jesus in every way possible. Right? And because that's his heart for your future, that is his heart because that's who he is, not because what he's planned. Right? And so don't think you have to wait for the sweet by-and-by forever for all of these things, because if that's his heart and that's who he is, he can't change himself as soon as the, you know, the rapture happens. Okay, now I'm taking on a different personality, right? It's who he is. He's the healer. He's the restorer. He's the, right? Amen. All right. This is an investment that has been realized. This is chapter 29 of a very long love story, right? Amen. Okay. This is you, because you are not disinterested, distracted, you're not bitter, you're not hypocritical, you're not dispassionate, you're a God-pursuing people, right? This is you. This is you. The fervent commitment of the Holy Spirit will motivate you. If not, he will convict you. And if not, he will drive you in the direction that he wants you to go, because he's loving that way, right? Yeah. And if that bothers you, more than likely, he's probably going to drive you out of here. And I'm not saying that because that's my desire. It's not. It's just my experience, and it's my observation that when a passionate people love on God and then hypocritical, can I talk like this? This is honest. I'm not downing anybody. But if a person is trying to be kind of hypocritical and pretend like everything's perfect, but it's not, and then they come around a bunch of God-loving, surrendered people, okay, then it eats them up. And then after a while, they have to go. And it's not, we don't want them to go. We want them to come, and right? But compromise can't sit in the presence of the Holy Spirit and sustain itself long-term, okay? Right? Why did you say that, Daryl? That's just mean. Because I want you to be there. Not the guy saying, oh, no, it is well with my soul, Jesus, right? And miss out on all that relevance in the relationship that happens along the way, amen? All right, now I'm going to encourage you, and that is not the same as tickling your ears that might be warned of in Revelations and some other scripture that Paul talked about. This is actually helping you tighten your grip on your faith, okay? Choke up on your weapon. This is not tickling your ears. I'm giving you the hope to fight back when the day comes, because you're going to find out that this attack is going to flip itself. Another spoiler alert. And the people are going to fight back with the authority of the king to do so. Right? So this is going to be a parody of life, and I love it. But before we go too deep into the Esther story, now we got to go back to the meat, the Jesus part. Number one, Jesus was saying in John 14, 1-3, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me, okay? Can I say that that is not a future stated sentence, okay? He's about to talk about in heaven, there's more than enough room for you. But the context of I've got a future for you is right now, don't let your hearts be troubled, and right now, trust in God. Trust in me. You hear me? It's like a right now, because let's begin with the end in mind and talk about the fact that there's more than enough room in my Father's home. If there were not so, I would have told you, that I'm going to prepare a place for you? Jesus is like, I'm not a liar. When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. Right? Of part of quieting your heart when you're in an attack and you're just feeling overwhelmed is realizing that this is temporary and it's not going to last. Right? It doesn't help. I'm not trying to divert your attention from the obvious way you're feeling in the moment. I'm just saying, add it to the emotions. It is temporary, and what's coming on the other side is a guarantee better. Yeah. Right? Guarantee. It's not a question. Jesus is saying, in my paraphrase, I have picked out the perfect spot for you, and you're going to love it. Right? Some of you are like, you like your house on the lake. Some of you want your house at the top of a mountain. Some of you want your house right in the busy street. Some of you want to be like off-grid. Jesus is saying, I have the perfect place picked out for you in eternity. It's for you. I know you. I know what you want. I know what you love. I'm making it awesome for you, right? Because he is so intimately involved in everything. Nice. All right, moving on. You can take confidence in the intimacy of God. Find joy and security in that unshakable element of his person, right? All right. Next slide comes out of Revelations 21, 4-5. It says, he, speaking of Jesus, will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. And then Greek forever means forever. And the one sitting on the throne said, look, I'm making everything new. And then he said to me, write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true. I love it. Write this down so that you know I'm committing it to paper, so you'll know I'm not just saying it. You can hold me accountable, God is saying. I'm going to do it. Right? Right?
Thank you, Lord.
Yes. I love it that he will do the wiping. That sounded crude. But think about it this way, you know. This area, right? This area. Although some of you know, I was going to say, I can't tell the difference. Okay, back to the fifth grade. All right, we're back. He will do the wipe it. So every tear, right, you just enter into that moment. He's not saying, hey, I need about 5,000 angels. We got a lot of people coming. We need some Kleenex, right? He's going to do it. He is intimately involved in those tears, right? And if you think no one's seen or no one's heard or no one knows, he does. And he will make everything new, right? It's important to him, the fact that he's calling it out. And once again, because it's important to him, that means it's an element of his personality. And so we count on the element of the personality of Christ, which is, I love wiping tears. I love comforting. I love stepping in, knowing exactly how to fix something and doing it. I love cheering you up. That's Jesus. Right?
Yes.
Yes. That's who he is. It's what he will do, and we can actually enjoy the fact that it's going to happen, but we can enjoy the fact that he can do it now too, because that's who he is, right? I know I sound like a broken CD, but... All right, Matthew 18, verse 20, Jesus said, it's the top one, for where two or three gather as my followers, I am there among them. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them, King James says, right? So what I see is when two or three people, minimum, right, just come together just to be the church, to love on each other, to encourage each other, to pray with each other, to counsel each other, to just be joy for each other, right? Jesus literally walks into that moment and inserts himself in that chaos, right? Okay, so the subtext that I hear him saying is, I am present and I love being available. Which is so important when you're feeling crushed, under attack, brokenhearted, disappointed, right? I am present, and I love just entering in and being available, yes? This is why coming together is so important. This is why, you know, this idea that you came up with to host these different dinners and things is important because, yeah, you might be just having barbecue together, but where two or three are gathered in your name, barbecue's involved, and Jesus is sitting there in the moment with you, being available, being present. Right? Jesus loves barbecue. Jesus loves barbecue. Especially the pork. It's why it's critical. Think of it this way too, okay, guys? If you're not the one under attack this week and you're having a great week and everything's great, but you're like, maybe I'll just skip this one. The reason you shouldn't skip whatever this one is, whether you're talking about a service or a meeting or a small group that you're involved in or a prayer that you're involved in, whatever, right? Don't skip it, is because maybe you're supposed to host the presence of Jesus. You should be the two or three for someone else to come in and experience his availability, right? So you're the host, not necessarily the needy one all the time. But in America, we're really good about being the needy ones, like, all the time, right? With extra cheese, right? Excuse me, sorry. What? Okay. Let's read this next one here. This was out of Jeremiah 29. The Lord is speaking, and he said, can I just speak in English, not King James? You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. Right? So what I hear him saying is, if you are looking, I will be found. I am not hard to find. Right? And when we're panicking, it's hard to think, but he's not hard to find. How many times have you just, not been able to say anything more than, oh God, and he just showed up? Yes?
Yes.
I have some unexplainable situations where I could not say anything else. Oh God. And he just came.
Sometimes that's all you have time to say.
Yep, I have a very specific car story that happened. Car stories, yeah. I might have had time to say one more bad word, but I wish I didn't. But I'm human, and this is years ago. All right. Huh? You still forgive me? Oh, good. Thank you. Because that's been on my chest for like 15 years.
You're forgiven.
Thank you. Okay. He wants wholeheartedness. You know what he just said? He didn't say, hey, I'm going to be hiding and you're going to be playing, hide and seek, and I'm going to be all over the place and you're going to be mad and frustrated. And, you know, I really just like to see you grovel and search. And, you know, I want to make myself difficult because it's fun for me. That's not what he's getting at. He's saying, you'll find me when you search for me with all your heart. He's, I want a wholehearted people. I'm a wholehearted, all-in kind of a God who loves you with a wholehearted, all-in kind of love. So all I'm asking is just come to me wholehearted and all-in. And it might take you 2 minutes to find me. It might take you 10. It might maybe take you a few days. It's my point is not to torture you. My point is to help you meet me where I am and meet me with a wholehearted love, because I'm going to pour that out on you. You're not going to know what to do with it if you don't approach me wholeheartedly, right? You come at me half-hearted and I'm just going to all over you. It's like, right? I love it when people are at church and I'm like, so I see them just bawling, right? And they're first timers or whatever. And I'm like, are you okay? Like, did you feel God speak? Yeah, it was horrible and I love it. And I'm going. It's like, right? Don't know what to do with it when you're just like flattened and steamrolled by the love of God in a moment. And you're like, I don't deserve this. And so you're wrestling with yourself. And you're like, but he's amazing. But oh my gosh. And what is my so-and-so going to think? And right? So he's kind of being a gentleman and he's basically saying, are you ready? Get set, go, right? Nice. He's kind. Not just like Odie, the way he hit Garfield, right? Is it? All right. That means I can move on because you got it. That's right. That's right. Here's a good one, Jeremiah 9, 23 to 24. This is cool. Back to King James again, because King Jim here, he said it better than anybody else. All the other denominations screw around with the words a bit, and they actually didn't translate as well as he did here on this verse. So he said, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, which exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord. I was a little frustrated that other versions have their own words to put in for the word glory, where it says, like, let not a rich man glory in riches, or, you know, strong man glory in might, that kind of thing. A lot of other translations are saying words like boast or stuff like that. You know what I mean? And that Hebrew word is actually halal. Where do you guys recognize halal? Yeah, food packages. It's the first half of another word that we say. It's hallelujah. But you're right. It is a type of food, right? It's kosher. Okay, all my worship people. That doesn't mean worship team necessarily, but all the people who love worship, can somebody define halal? Come on. Or hallelujah. You guys know what this means, right? This is not trick. Highest praise. What'd you say? Glory. Glory to God. Yup. Who else? You guys, we're going to have to do some worship studies. To shine, to make a big show, to be clamorously foolish in your expression, almost like a drunk falling down. That's not worship. To rave, to celebrate. There is a boast in there, like to brag. To give glory. Here's an interesting one. To give in marriage. Isn't that cool? Amen. To give yourself in marriage. So think about, like, all your worship is just a declaration of that. I'm giving myself to you wholeheartedly in love. Like, you're my, right? Yeah. To praise, to shine. Really cool, right? It's worship. And so what we see here in this verse is he's saying, hey, you know, you're finding yourself in a place of attack, okay? You're struggling, you're confused, you know, you're trying to rely on me. And he's saying, don't let the person with wisdom give themselves over in worship and marriage to his wisdom. Don't let the mighty strong one give himself over, right? As in marriage to his money, his resources. You know, do you understand the concept of what I'm getting at? He's saying, I want you to be married to one thing, the Jesus, right? He's coming back for a bride. And I just thought this was so cool to see this thing kind of come back around full swing. Jesus is saying, if you want to be fully married to me as I come back for my bride, I don't want you figuring out how you're going to buy your way, muscle your way, or figure your way out of your own situations and attacks. I want to do that as your husband.
Amen.
Right? Don't look for plan Bs. Don't marry yourself, align yourself with alternatives. We're really good at alternatives, aren't we? And I'm not saying there's not, like, that means turn off your wisdom, turn off your strength, turn off your resource. By all means, if you're sick, go to the doctor, for goodness sake, right? But don't marry yourself. This is my hope. If the doctor doesn't do it, I'm screwed. Really? Right? I have this debt coming at me, and if I can't figure out a way to pay it all, it's just going to crush me. Really? It's as easy as a surrender and a cry out to him, right? Yeah. I mean, really, like, surrender, cry out, bring people in. I don't like to bring people in. I'm private. Well, then you just married yourself to your privacy as your alternative to an answer. Enjoy it. Huh? No, you won't. You will not. For all the people who had to embarrass themselves by telling the truth about something they were totally ashamed of, you won't, right? But on this side of shame, it feels really good to not take a chance. All right. Don't justify or give in to your apathetic thoughts, okay? Here's what I mean by this. There are seasons in life where, especially if you're like a provider kind of a person, like you like to fix things, where you might say, there is an acceptable season by which I can kind of withdraw from the things of God so I can focus on this, you know, second job, this opportunity, so I can focus on this need, so I can focus, right? And people pull out of the God relationship for a time and they think that's wisdom, because they'll just come back and reinvest when the time is right. But for now, it's just not the right season. And you throw out the word season, you sound like wise, no matter how you say it. Right? Right? Right. I mean, I'm just, you know, discerning the season, and this is the season where I, right? No, stop it. Don't give in to that apathetic seasonal talk that says it's okay to withdraw from the things of God and the heart of God so that you could go pursue that stuff. He's saying, no, I want you to glory in this, that you understand and you know me, right? And that you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these other things will, right, be done. And in that, when you tell me that you understand and know me, make sure you tack on the fact that you understand that I exercise. Can you say exercise? That means I work really hard at kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, because those are the things that I delight in. And some of us, when we get apathetic and lazy, we say, he's not really delighting in these things on the earth. I'm very frustrated. I see what I see in front of me. I see people. I see people who need justice. I see judgment needs to take place. I see people are not living righteously, and it's frustrating me, and I've invested so much, and I feel like I'm losing, and they're ahead, and so what the heck am I doing investing in this stuff when I should just be doing what they're doing and having what they have? Right? Sounds reasonable from a human point of view. Does it not? Doesn't make it right. It just sounds reasonable. And the Lord is saying, if you really understood and you really knew me, you would know that I love and I delight in these things and I want them. And if you take them out of the earth yourself, you're actually working against my cause to exercise them on the earth. Your compromise is working against me, the Lord is saying. Yes? Yep. Is that okay? Can we still get some hallelujahs and ah? So the first thing I just want to throw it out there is be the thing he delights in. If he delights in loving kindness and judgment and righteousness, be that, okay? And I know you're like all sitting the judgment one. What does that mean? I get to Facebook. Oh boy. Just fire on all those people, right? That's not the judgment he's talking about. Right? If you actually get into the Isaiah 61 prophecy of Jesus, the judgment that he brought was upon the demonic realm, upon the enemies of God, not upon people. Which means you're picking a fight in the spiritual realm to undo the works of darkness, not to put people in their place, because our battle's not with flesh and blood. Right? Amen. Who's it with? Angels, principalities, powers, and rulers of this darkness, right? All that stuff, that's your enemy. And he's saying, when you don't delight in taking that stuff down, right, then you're working against me. I don't like to do that. What did you mean, Jesus, when you said you delight in these things? That Hebrew word actually means to bend toward the light like a plant does. And you've seen the plants do that. They bend. Jesus is like, I bend toward when I see people with right judgment and when I see people with loving kindness, I bend in their direction. I love that. That's where I go, you know? And if you move, then I'm going to go that way, right? You know what I mean? Talk about moving heaven. You know that Christianese statement? Let's always try to move heaven, right? How about we just begin to add loving kindness and judgment and righteousness, because he delights, he's going to move toward it like plants move to the light. Right? We have no idea how much our decision to obey him is actually drawing him, because, you know, he's attracted to the beautiful bride. Right? Okay, good. Men know what I mean when I say you're attracted to your bride, right? Yeah, that's right. It's kind of like the fear of God. No, just kidding. So here we are back in the days where the people are now the enemy, and they're all going to be killed because one dude named Mordecai refused to bow down when he was supposed to, right? And everyone is saying, hey, what did I do? Why are you picking on me? And that's where we get to have another type and shadow picture of Jesus in the story, because Matthew 4, Jesus goes for a wilderness fasting experience and the devil comes and tries to tempt him. The devil actually says, bow down to me and I'll give you the kingdom of the earth. Like, you don't even have to face the cross is what he's getting at, right? You could just bow down. And Jesus didn't bow down, kind of like Mordecai in this story. And guess what? Ever since, the devil's been saying, I'm going to kill you, and I'm going to kill all your kids, all your relatives, all the people you care about. I'm going to wipe out your entire race because I'm ticked off. You didn't show me the respect I demanded. So you want to know why you're going through it? It's because your big brother Jesus didn't bow down. Would you want him to do anything less? No way. Amen. You know, I love the way the poetic type and shadow thing in the scripture just keeps coming back around, right? Okay. I like it. You and I will talk about it later. Everyone else just chill. Jesus actually promised in Matthew 10:16, he said that I am sending you out as sheep among wolves, so be as shrewd as snakes and harmless as doves. I mean, he knew. He's like, I didn't bow, and it's coming at you, and I'm sorry, they're wolves, they hate you, and you're like sheep compared to them. So you got to be wise, right? Okay, I'm going to be wise. I'm going to turn on my wisdom button, but what does it look like, and how do I know I'm being wise?
Read Proverbs.
Sure. Quick answer, done. Everybody go home. No, just kidding. But you're right. Proverbs is the book of wisdom, so you're absolutely right. Also, can I throw on Ephesians 5:15-16, where Jesus said, and I put that picture of him again, so you realize this is a love statement. Be careful how you live. Don't live like fools. Live like those who are wise. Make the most out of every opportunity in these evil days. He's like, focus on the things that I'm focusing on, and it's less about your conduct. It's more about what you're doing to leave a God-sized imprint on the world and the people around you, on your families, on your spouse, on your, right? He's like, don't live carelessly. Begin with the end in mind. What you are shooting at is what you will hit, right? So he's like, don't be careless. Don't be dumb. Don't be careful. Aim small, miss small, right? Yes?
Yeah.
Right? Focus on the end and then back out from there. And you want to be the girl there in that picture, right? You want that. So now live like that's who you want to be. And back it off from there. And pray for God's will to be done on the earth as it is in heaven. That's the Lord's Prayer, which means when you walk into this hopeless situation, especially for other people, you're like, God, in heaven right now, there is no, fill in the blank, sickness, brokenness, lies, hurt, right? So we're going to ask that you become God and do that here in this moment, because that's what's happening in the courts of heaven right now. So we're basically asking all of this stuff to just face you in the courts of heaven before your throne and for you to deal with it. You love judgment. You love righteousness, right? Squash that thing, right? Don't live carelessly. Don't live haphazardly. This is as it comes. I just deal with it. It just happens to me, and such is life, and woe is me, right? No. Don't be careless. Put your end in mind, right? You cool with me? Okay. And then this last one, wise bridesmaids in Matthew 25. You remember the parable of the wise bridesmaids? Well, that means I'm out of time. That's cool. They said that, I mean, they were wise. They were called wise by Jesus because they carried the oil that kept the flame of their wedding day lit continuously. You get it? Don't be fools. Be wise. Keep your oil, your anointing in place, right? Burn with the first love flame continuously. Don't let it back off. Don't let the attack be the thing that distracts you and you're like, turn around and you're like, I ran out of oil and I wasn't paying attention because I was so busy focused on all the chaos that I let my love go out, right? Man, well, I got to have to land this plane. Okay. What's that? Oh, can you do it? You left your paddles? Your little glowing popsicles? Okay.
Yes.
All right. Yes. So do you remember the where we began at the, in Jeremiah where the Lord was directing those people to, you know, build homes, have kids, have grandkids, and work for the betterment, for the prosperity and the peace of the people in the city in which you live, right? Okay. The very following section of scripture in that chapter is a much more familiar one. And I feel like we need to end with that because that's the encouragement sandwich that I believe the Lord wants to give you. Can I just go back to just continue reading where we left off, basically? I mean, there's a couple of little scriptures I left out in the middle. Okay. For this is God speaking. I know the plans I have for you, right? You're in exile. You're under attack. I know people are coming against you, but I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They're plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. And in those days, when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. I will be found by you. That's like a promise, says the Lord. I will end your captivity, your attack, your slavery, right? I will end it, and I will restore your fortunes. I will gather you out of the nations where I sent you, and I will bring you home again to your own land. Amen. Right? And that reminds me of a rapture, too. I will gather you out from where you are, and I'll bring you home. Right? Yeah. It's during these dark times, man, we have to remember he has good plans. Plans for prosperity in our life. And this is not a prosperity sermon, right? I mean, prosperity. Live long and prosper kind of prosperity, right? He's our hope. He has good plans, right? He sees a future for us. He answers our prayers. That means he's hearing our prayers. He's available when we speak, when we cry out to him. The captivity will end. You will have an amazing fortune. You will be gathered up from the earth. You will not feel isolated forever. He will bring you home. What's that? No. No? Or yes? All right, well, you need to. And the mic in front of your face. Yeah.
All right, there you go. I was having a conversation on Tuesday with a good friend of mine, and he's a Catholic, but he doesn't practice, so he's just raised in that. But we were talking about opportunities that are put on our plate, and he said to me, he's like, I feel like I was just born to thrive. You know, I was born to create and to do work. And I said, well, that's exactly what we were born to do. That's what God wants in all of us, is that the best version of ourselves and to be able to, you know, feel like we're empowered to go wherever and do anything. And, you know, this is exactly what you're saying. And that's what she said. This is the conversation you had with Eric this week. And I was like, yeah, that's exactly right. You know, yeah, God already knew that that word was for him, even though he may not know that's from God.
Yeah.
And it's much... Right. It's my job to be the conduit for him to know that that's God's promise for him, you know.
Yes.
But
very
yeah,
cool.
I just want to share that.
Like you've been listening to the same Holy Spirit. That's so cool. All right. It's a little windy.
I have a new translation of the Bible on my app, and it's the Passion Translation. And this kind of goes along with it. Jesus taught them this prayer. Our Heavenly Father, may the glory of your name be the center on which our life turns.
Nice. Yes, that's the Lord's Prayer.
Yeah.
Yes. In the
it goes on, but that phrase.
Turn.
Pivot. May your life
yes, the
be
anchor.
Pivot point, or your glory be our pivot point.
Yes.
Right.
That's so cool. The Passion Translation, the TPT, for those of you who are into acronyms.
When you have a mechanical watch, there's an escapement.
Yep. Yep.
Just dirt keeps going and going and going.
Right. And everything revolves around that one point. Amen. Amen. So I didn't have a bunch of these like prefab prayer points today. Matter of fact... I felt no prefabrication of any prayer points for us today. I felt like today, if we're willing to do it for five more minutes, to break into smaller groups of people and just share, I need prayer for this, or I need you to pray for me for that. And I know it's uncomfortable for some, and I totally get that, but just think about this. A lady asked for prayer last week, and her back is healed. You know what I mean? We're not making this complex. It's not about the words. It's just about the heart of you saying, two or three are gathered here, Jesus, please step in, right? And I've been praying that God's going to answer your prayers before you're even finished. I'm nervous. All right. Okay. All right. I wouldn't. Yes. I'm sorry.
If
I've been.
If you say no, then I understand.
All right.
Hi. I deal with chronic pain, and this past week, I had a bad day. I mean, a really, really, really bad day, and I was sitting there, and all I could do was just cry. And I finally got up, and I went to the computer to ask for prayer. And there was an email that I got from the Passion Translation, and it said this: I hear his whisper, stand strong in me. Nothing can disturb my unshakable faithfulness, and nothing should disturb your faith. When everything crumbles, I remain faithful. When all else fails, the hope of my promise will keep you and guard you. Hold on to me and what I promise. Remind yourself of my goodness. Trust in my power that cannot be overcome. I have already provided for every need. What I've done for David, I will do for you. He believed in my mercy. When he hid himself in my wraparound presence, I became his shield. Nothing can harm him as he went out to battle, and nothing will harm you as you stand inside my grace. I have taken notice of your faithfulness to me. When others did their best to pull you away, you still sought me as your great reward. I rejoice with singing when I consider what you have yielded to me. I've seen every offering, every sacrifice, every tear of surrender. Heaven is empty of worry, and I have called on you to live a life of heaven on earth. So continue to stand strong in my love, and I will provide all that you need.
Amen.
Somebody here may need to know that too.
Amen.
But it was an answer to the cry of my heart. God, I need you right now.
Yeah, and he emailed you.
And he emailed me.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Thank you. All right, so Father, as we come now, just refusing to give in to the frustration or disillusionment of whatever we're in or whatever our brothers and sisters might be facing, God, we just come collectively to surrender to you and to invite you into the moment. Lord, where two or three are gathered, you are there. You are available. You love to be present. You love to listen. You love to help. You love when we approach you wholeheartedly. So I ask, God, that in this moment, you just break into our natural realm and bring glory and honor to the Father through what you're about to do for people as you build relationship and solve problems, God, all at the same time. Lord, we love you, and we're amazed by who you are. We're amazed by how you just listen to us and love us and do what we need, Father. You're such a good God. Please, please be glorified and know that with all our heart, we love you. In Jesus' name. So please, just don't grab somebody because you're comfortable. Look around the room and just say, like, God, are you asking me to pray for? And then go pray with them just for a minute, okay? And then you're dismissed. You can get your kids and have a great day.